It's December the 23rd. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So glad to have you with us. December 23rd, 24th, 25th. Christmas is almost here. I hope your shopping is done, and I certainly hope you're enjoying these days as we are moving up the journey to Bethlehem to celebrate the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a nice note from someone who said, "My husband and I joined you on the Bible bus on the first day of January and have gone to Guatemala, Tennessee, and the Gulf several times, but we catch up when we have missed. It has been such a blessing, and we are already planning to do it again next year. We love God's Word and look forward to your commentaries to further explain difficult sections." And then she says, "Thank you for your and Marlene's dedication to spread God's Word selflessly. It has been a joy, an absolute joy, to read the Word of God with you and read it for you. And Sarah, thank you for you and your husband. I just am amazed at people who joined us in January and are still with us here at the end of the year. And we're not very far to go. Just remember, 23rd, 24th, 25th, day after Christmas, going to be doing this live, 7 a.m. Central Time. I know you can watch it later, just like regularly you do as on video, but I'm hoping you're going to get up early wherever you are. And of course, I know we've got people from Northern Ireland, and we've got people from different places in Africa and across Europe, and we've got them in Asia. So I don't know how to do the time exactly where you are, but let's see. That would be 8 a.m. in New York City. That's 7 a.m. here in Shawnee, Kansas. That's 6 a.m. in Missoula, Montana. And that's 5 a.m. up and down the West Coast. And you can do the rest of the math from there. So today, Psalm 140 through 145, we're in the last section of 15 Psalms, reading today from the Pulpit Bible. You can see the top of it here. And this Pulpit Bible is the 1984 edition of the NIV. It's the one we used for the Bible Reading Marathon back in 1999 at Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park, Illinois. So Psalm 140 is a prayer of deliverance. And I think most of the Psalms in the section for today, at the early Psalms, anyway, 140, 141, 142, and to some degree 143, they all come from some part of David's life when he is struggling with many adversaries. So probably from the time when Saul and his army was chasing David out in the wilderness and David was running and hiding. And these are Psalms crying out for God's help and deliverance. So Lord, we pray, speak to us, open our heart, help us to know, help us to understand all that you have for us today. Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 140, for the director of music, a psalm of David. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent. The poison of vipers is on their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. Selah, O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my prayer for mercy. O sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle. Do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord. Do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud. Selah. Let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise. Let slanderers not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down men of violence. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you. Now, in the same vein, Psalm 141, another psalm of David, peace in times of great stress. Peace in distress, I think again, when he was being attacked by his by some of the many enemies. I said it could have been some of the men of Saul, but David faced numerous adversaries in his life. And notice the emphasis here on watching your word. Psalm 141, O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. Yet my prayer is ever against the deeds of evildoers. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, from the traps set by evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. In safety. Did you get that? Be careful. In the time of trouble, be careful. Watch your words. Watch your words. When you're distressed, when you're attacked, watch your words. Oh God, help me to guard my mouth, lest I should say something stupid. And I think David's thought is here that by saying something stupid or evil or angry or hateful, I'll be dragged down to the level of my adversaries. So Psalm 142, this deeper still, when David feels deserted and alone, a maskil, a teaching psalm of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. The cave, we don't know. David spent quite a bit of time in the cave. This could be the cave of Adullam, but we don't know for certain. But in the fear and aloneness, the desolation, hiding in the cave, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before Him. Before Him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my portion. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Where could I go? Like that old spiritual, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? That's what David is saying. Psalm 143. Now, one person said this is the many sides of prayer. Prayer pops out in many ways here. Again, David's in trouble. The Psalm of David. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you know. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. This is a great verse here. You know, just reading through, you just see different things. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Wow. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He does. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's the only safe hiding place in the day of trouble. Psalm 144, I'm going to call this, Happiness is the Lord. And Alec Mateer, in his little book that's sort of a teaching commentary on the Psalms, wonderful, he talks about the 10 glories of the Lord. Let's see if we can find him here in Psalm 144. Praise be to the Lord, my rock who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you care for him, the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. Part your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemies. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On the 10-string lyre, I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword. Deliver me and rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands. In our fields, our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Wow. Just want to stop and talk about that, but I really can't. But I love that verse 12, that when we are rescued, when we are delivered, when our hope is in the Lord, then our sons will be like well-nurtured plants and strong oaks, oak trees. Mighty oaks, and our daughters will be like beautiful pillars carved to adorn our palace. God will bless us with sons and daughters who are strong, who are beautiful, who are capable, who love and serve the Lord. And all the other blessings will follow. Blessed, he says, are the people whose God is the Lord. So now we're coming to Psalm 145. This is a psalm of acrostic praise. And, you know, that's an A to Z kind of psalm. So A is in verse 1. Remember Psalm 119 had the different paragraphs, the different stanzas, each one beginning with different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, but only 21 verses in this psalm. Noon, which we'd say N. Noon is like equivalent of the English letter N. There's no verse there for N. This is a broken acrostic. Now, in some ancient versions, there is a verse for N, but not, I think, in most. That's a question of textual criticism. But there is a, it's probably better to take the psalm the way it is. It's an acrostic psalm. One writer called it a broken acrostic. It was his way of saying that God is to be praised even in a world like this. How about that? Even in a world where liars lie, and cheaters cheat, and killers kill, and stealers steal, and gossipers gossip, and rumor mongers monger their rumors, and haters are going to hate, right? Swindlers are going to swindle. Bad people are going to do bad things. We live in a world where evil is on the march and on the move. And in this broken world, we are still to praise the Lord. And I'm going to call you at the end. Let me just read this. I want to call one verse to your attention, and we'll be done. Psalm 145, the Psalm of Praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Now, tomorrow, we're just building. You got to come back tomorrow, because we are building to this a crescendo of praise coming up in these last few psalms. But I got to tell you this. In 1989, Marlee and I moved from Garland, Texas, up to Oak Park, Illinois, to Calvary Memorial Church. And when I got there, they told me that this was the, in 1989 was the 74th year. And next year, 1990, was going to be the 75th anniversary of the church. And would I help lead the celebration? And I said, sure, never done that before. And we had a little committee, and Cliff Rod was on it, and Marion Tetzlaff was on it, and Bruce Lavinaugh was on it, and there's maybe several other people were a part of it. And we decided early on we wanted to get a theme verse to guide us, to give us a thought. And you know what we made our theme verse was? Psalm 145, verse 4. I love this verse. One generation will commend your works to another. It is the duty, it is the obligation, it is the joy of the old to tell to the young what God has done. It's my responsibility at the advanced age of 71. It's God's calling. Ray Pritchard, tell your boys what God has done. And then you go and tell Knox and Violet and Noah and Eli and Penny and Zoe and Nico and Hannah and Josh and Nora and Eliza. It's my job. It's my obligation. But it's my joy to say, this is what God has done. To tell to my grandchildren the glories of our God. And not just that, not just to tell him what he's done in the olden days. I got to do that. But I got to tell our family history. And more than that, Marlene and I've got to say to our grandkids, this is what our God has done. And that's why he says in verse 4, they will tell. They will speak. They will tell. Verse 7, I love this. It's a good Christmas verse. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. I mean, we ought to be happy at Christmas time, shouldn't we? The whole point of Christmas is that God kept his promises. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. He said he was going to send a Savior, and he did. He sent a baby. I saw this. When God declared war at Bethlehem, he named a baby as his commanding general. That's beautiful. Jesus came in fulfillment of all the promises of God. We ought to rejoice at Christmas time. You ought to read with your family Luke 2. You ought to read it. Have your kids read it. Have your grandkids read it. Have them gathered around it. Read it. Pray about it. And thank God. It is the privilege and honor of the older folks, which I am one. It's our privilege. One generation will tell to another, will commend. See, this generation, I gotta say this, we gotta be done. One generation will commend, and not just tell, it's not strong enough, that we will praise our God. We will say we were in trouble, but God brought us out. Cancer came, but God delivered us. We had to bury our loved ones, but God gave us grace. We lost everything, but God brought us through. We were broken, but God held us up. We were going to give up, but the Lord wouldn't let us go. We got to tell those stories and give glory. Not just tell the stories, but commend. This is what God has done for us. You got to tell your kids so your kids can tell their kids and their kids and their so 20 generations from now, we'll have a great heritage of truth handed down from one generation to another. Got to end, friends, 2 days before Christmas. Great day when Jesus was born. Go out. I can't imagine you won't have a wonderful day, but please have a great God-blessed day. And every chance you get, come in. Come in. Tell other people what God has done for you. That's all you got to do. You know, we used to talk about evangelism. One beggar telling another beggar where to get the bread. That's pretty good. Go out and tell what great things God has done. It'll make your day great. And you know what? You do that, you'll make somebody else's day great too. Come back tomorrow, Christmas Eve. Can't wait. God bless. See you then.